Thank you, Wes. Today is indeed a celebration. We're going to celebrate dads today, the roles that they play in our lives, the intention that God has for dads and the role that they play in our lives. But ultimately, the true celebration is about our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ.
Let's make this Father's Day
a time to recommit to being heroes to our children. Today's the day, a new commitment. And how are we going to do that? We're going to be heroes by being a godly influence in our kids' life, because we're all a part of this foolish and tainted society, this world that's being more and more impacted by evil. And all of us need that godly influence. So today, dads, I'm asking for you to stand up and to be that hero. I found some good statistics about dads. 90% of the dads out there really enjoy being a dad and consider it the most exciting thing in their life. 85% of fathers consider being a dad the best job in the world. 73% didn't even think their life began until their first kid was born. And 62% of dads are hungry for more information on how they can be a better dad. That's good. That's good news. So I was encouraged by that. So as I started to look at Proverbs, I knew that I had some people that were already taking steps in the direction of being a wise father. And today's sermon title is The Wise Relationship. The Wise Relationship. And so far, we've been with Pastor John week one, where he talked about not being a fool. Pretty frank and straightforward. Don't be a fool. Week two, we learned about the wisdom of hard work. Last week, we learned about biblical hope. And as I listened to those messages again and I looked at all three of them, I thought, hey, all three of those apply strongly to the role of a dad. Not being a fool, being a hard worker, reflecting that biblical hope throughout our household and to our kids. But why? Why such the big deal? Why point me out? Why single me out as a dad? Well, parents are obviously important to God, because just in the book of Proverbs alone, he uses the words, my son, 23 times. That's just in this one book. So it's obviously important to God. Here's some things that you might find alarming, which also is a testament to why being a dad is so important. 72% of Americans think an absent father in the household is the most important problem facing America today. The percentage of children without a father in the United States is 43%, folks. That's almost half. 90% of runaway and homeless children are from fatherless homes. 71% of kids who do not finish high school are from a fatherless household. The percentage of minors in prison who grew up without fathers is 85%. And the percentage of adolescents in substance abuse treatment facilities are 75% from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behavioral disorders are from homes without fathers. And 63% of youth suicides happen in households with an absent father. Men, we need to reflect. We need to evaluate ourselves. Moms, too. And kids, as well. You also play a very important role in your household. So any journey, evaluation, or project has to start with an evaluation of the what, the who, the how. The topic, who's participating, and how are we going to get there? What's our method? Today's goal, I want us all to learn more about how to be a wise father to our kids. Kids, how to honor your parents better. But ultimately, I want us to learn more about how to be in that eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is the one who reconciles us to the Heavenly Father. He's the one. Let's pray. Jesus, happy Father's Day. We are here because of you. We are here for you. I thank you for being present in our lives, not being that absent father, and Lord, providing us with a way to one day spend eternity with our good, good Father, right there with you in heaven. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So our scripture for today, Proverb a Day, we are in Proverbs 20. Today is the 20th, and I've picked three verses from that chapter that we're going to kind of hone in on and are going to kind of guide us through our way to parenting, to being a child in the household, and ultimately having that wise relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're going to be in verses 20, 24, and 27 in Proverbs chapter 20. All right? So we're going to start verse 20. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Verse 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? And verse 27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. So my hope is today we have a revelation about ourselves. What kind of parents do you have, or did you have? What kind of parent are you? And what kind of father does Jesus represent in your life? Those are the revelations I'd like for us all to come to together. The bottom line is, if there are kids in your life, you have influence. Parental influence is the number one influence in importance, power, and effectiveness in the lives of kids. And our number one enemy against us as parents or as influencers is evil. Our kids have a target on their back. Evil wants them. And wants them to think that this wise relationship with Jesus Christ is hogwash, is a waste of time, and is foolish. And that all the wisdom we ever need is right here in this evil world. And we can have as much of it or as little of it as we want. That's what evil wants our kids to believe. More and more nowadays, I see parents say, well, it's the school's responsibility to teach my kids all they need to know. And I'll drop my kids off at church, and it's up to the church to teach my kids the Bible and who they are spiritually. And if I just don't feel like adulting or parenting today, there's always some help somewhere I can get financially, and they'll take care of my kids. Now, granted, there is nothing wrong with schools. There is nothing wrong with asking for help when you need it to get through a hard time. And parents, if you need help, it's up to you. It's your responsibility to go and get it. But the sole responsibility, day in and day out, and the person who God left in charge of raising your children is you. At the end of the day, who is God going to hold responsible? He's not going to hold that school teacher responsible for your kid's character development. He's not going to hold Miss Renee responsible if your kids don't understand God. That's up to us. Ministry starts at home. Miss Renee does a wonderful job of ministering to our kids. But it's our job, the parents, to instill that knowledge of Christ into their lives. Now, kids, you're not off the hook today. All right? You have a responsibility as well in your household and in your schools and in your societies. Proverbs chapter 1 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments around your neck." And what does our proverb of the day say about children? If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. And just in the previous chapter, yesterday's proverb a day that you probably read, it says, he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Kids want to be a lot of things. They haven't made their mind up about a lot of things, but most of the kids that I interact with don't want to be shameful or disgraceful. Okay? So that's what not to do, kids. That's what we don't want to do, is assault and shame and disgrace our parents. Okay? Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm glad you asked, Peyton. Thank you so much. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, which is paperclip number 2 in my Bible today. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read the first 3 verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And that promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Kids, 2 commands there. Honor and obey. Oh, but Joel, you don't understand how not cool my dad is. Right, Seth? You just don't understand. He doesn't get me. He doesn't understand me. Bible says to honor and obey him. Even when dad doesn't understand and why, even when you don't understand why in the world he won't let you go or wants you to come home early or suggest that maybe you pick a different crowd to run with. Even when it doesn't make sense, we have to honor and obey our parents so that you will be a blessing to your home and a blessing to your society. See, what we lose sight of is that godly parents are leading their children to the path of life. Children have options. I'm 42, I got options. There's paths that I can take. There's a next step that I can take in life. But my parents, God love them, have always tried their best to put me on that path to life. Because guess what? When the world gets a hold of you, and when you listen to what the world and the media and this presence of evil says, you're on a path to death. I'm so thankful for the parenting that I received. My parents did a lot of things right, and they never, ever claimed or desired to be perfect. I graduated high school 1997. I had been to vacation Bible school. I had actually hosted vacation Bible schools. I'd been on mission trips. We had been to church every Sunday. My mom and my dad both served in church. I graduated high school with, had already enrolled myself into the business school at Virginia Tech. Just everything just seemed so right. But I lost sight of what they taught me was truly important. I thought what was truly important was me. And that basically I had earned the right as this new adult in the world to do whatever I wanted. I had earned that. The world wanted me to be happy and excited. I'm not proud to tell you that Father's Day, 24 years ago in 1997, I was sitting in jail in South Carolina. How in the world did that happen? An honor student going to Virginia Tech, the whole world in his hands had been to basketball camps and summer camps and church camp, and his parents, I mean, what great people. I wasn't obeying and honoring the things that they told me. And when it came time for me to use the things that I had learned from my parents to protect me from my own self and from really messing things up, I blew it. I blew it. And I learned real fast. And when I say real fast, I mean for the next 10 years, I was trying to pull myself out of a hole that I had dug. No excuses. I had great parents. My dad was present all the time. My mom was present, very present all the time. I had great parenting. But now, in the year 2021, 24 years later, I see the things that they taught me were true. And every time that I second-guessed them, I was wrong, not them. And Jesus has saved me in my life today because of the truth that I learned at home when I was young. Proverbs 22 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." I didn't have the maturity level. I didn't have the wisdom to listen to the truth and to live in that truth. But thank goodness God is a forgiving God, and my parents were forgiving parents. They never turned their back on me, even though I did disgrace and shame them. So what kind of parent are you? Parents are responsible for every aspect of raising their children. But in all fairness, every parent has limitations, okay? But we're still responsible for supervising and directing what our children are learning. We can't use our limitations as excuses. Oh, if I was just a little smarter, I didn't pay good enough attention in school, I can't help him with his homework. Well, maybe it's not about the homework. Maybe it's about you just spending that time with them. I don't make enough. If I just made a little bit more money, I could send them to basketball camp. Your kid is perfectly happy shooting hoops with you in the cul-de-sac down the road. They don't need to go to Duke University to basketball camp. There's no excuses. As a matter of fact, I took a poll. And I asked some people, what is the most important thing you feel like that a dad can do or give or bring for his children? And I left it open-ended like that, and I just asked that the answerers, that they just keep it short. Wes said I got to be done by 2 o'clock today. Some of the answers that I got back, attention. I need attention from my dad. Time. Support me. Give me adulting advice. Teach children to enjoy and appreciate all creation. Love and understanding in hard situations. To keep his promises and to love without reward. Quality time. A happy environment. Spending time with you and showing that they love and care about you. Partiality, or in other words, I want to know that I'm his favorite. It's funny. None of those answers included money. None of those answers included a big bad job or house on the lake, 3 boats. It's not what kids want. It's not what kids need. And these people that I polled are the teenagers in your church. A father does wear many hats. He has many roles. But there's no substitute for his time. When I married Alicia, I didn't have to wait. I had 2 sons right off the bat. And I used to freak out if the house wasn't just right, if we had a little leak somewhere. The air conditioning wasn't working quite right because I was supposed to be this provider. I was supposed to be Papa Bear and make sure everything was just perfect. And if it wasn't, I was a failure. She had to get up in my face a little bit and say, "Joel, stop it. You're making yourself miserable and you're making us miserable. All we want is you." And that rings true to me today, even when I want to freak out sometimes. When something isn't quite right, I remember. And they have lived that way. All they wanted was me. There was a little boy that went and asked his dad, "Daddy, how much money do you make per hour?" Well, the dad was busy on his computer getting ready for a webinar, and his favorite sports team was on TV, so he got a little irritated that his son was bothering. He's like, "Yeah, you don't need to be asking me questions like that. I don't have time. I make $40 an hour, okay? Is that good enough for you?" Now go up and go to bed. The little boy tucked his chin down and went up to his room, and his dad sat there and dwelled for a minute and said, "Man, I think I was pretty rough on the little guy. I need to go check on him and make sure he's okay." And when the father got to his son's bedroom door, he saw that his son was on his knees praying, saying, "God, I just need 20 more dollars and I could buy an hour of my daddy's time." Let's not let that be our household. Let's never be too busy or anything be more important than our family. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house." That's a lot. That's quite the commandment. There's a lot there. He wants me to be on this thing while I'm awake, while I'm sleeping, when I rise, when I sit down at the table. Like, hey, come on, man. U.S. Open final round is today. I kind of want to see how these guys finish that golf tournament. Can't I just have like an hour? All your kids want is you. Invite them to sit down and watch it with you. And when they look at you, that they know that you're a person that loves God. Talked about the limitations of parents, and they're certainly there. And the biggest limitation that we have is brought out in Proverbs 22. We're all born sinners with foolishness bound up in our hearts. David in the book of Psalms says, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Paul teaches in Ephesians, we are by nature children of wrath. It's in our nature. So I'm the kind of guy, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. And I don't like to start something unless I know that I can do it right. That's just kind of how I am by nature. Well, I had to realize really quickly that there is no such thing as a perfect parent. But there are some out there who will say, well, if I can't do it right, I don't want anything to do with it. And we have men everywhere, and women too, that are throwing up their hands with parenting. I just don't get it. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I don't get paid enough. These kids don't listen to me. I never asked for these kids anyway. They're not a blessing in my life, and they throw their hands up. And what I'm here to tell you today is that Jesus is throwing his hands out. All the wisdom, all the tools you need are right here in the book about him. Kids don't want you to be perfect. None of the kids I talked to wanted their dads to be perfect and invincible. They just want to spend time with us. And they want to know what's true and what's not, because they hear 50,000 different versions every week when they leave their homes. If we do not teach diligently and share God's wisdom, our childhood sin nature goes into teenage rebellion. It solidifies into adult foolishness and comes to an end in eternal foolishness, and that's not a pretty place. God does not want this for anyone, especially your kids. We parents shouldn't want that either. Churches, schools, charity, police, they all teach important lessons. They do impart some wisdom. But you have to be the one to teach them that God sets the rules for faith and behavior. We have to be that building block for character development. You were the ones created by God to be the number one influence in the children that are in your life. Well, Joel, I agree. There's some things I need to pick up the pace on. I can see I'm evaluating myself. We're going through this journey today, and I agree. I need you to kind of put me on that path. Where can I get started? Right now, Belmont has a discipleship process, a discipleship challenge that we're doing for the summer. I signed up for it. I'm working my way through it, because I never want to be the arrogant one that says, well, I've arrived. I'm doing this dad thing pretty good, still got my job. My wife still lets me have the key to the house, so I can go in and out whenever I want. That's pretty cool. I still need wisdom all the time. I need help all the time. And we have this discipleship challenge right now, and the most encouraging thing to me is not just the scriptural truth that I'm getting out of this challenge. I got a random text message this week. Somebody who I didn't even know had been praying for me, Mr. Tim Ward, texted me and said, hey, I'm going to be your partner through this challenge. If you need something, whether it's motivation or prayer or whatever it may be, you just let me know. So not only am I doing this challenge, I'm not doing it alone. You never have to take steps in the right direction alone. That's what a church community is all about. So, we're arriving at our final evaluation. We've talked about what kind of parents we had, what kind of parents are we, what kind of father is Jesus? Jesus is an example for all fathers. And I'm going to read John chapter 14. Jesus is sitting with his disciples, knowing that the end is near for him. And he's talking to his best friends, his followers, his disciples, and he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How is Jesus such a great example as a father? Well, he was present. He was there. He sat down, he served his disciples, he spent time with them, and since he knew that he was going to be put to death for their wrongdoings, he was still leaving his spirit with them so that he could still be present in their lives. Jesus was a great example for fathers as he was a teacher. He was always teaching people the truth and never steered from it. Jesus was a great father because he was sacrificial. I mean, my dad did some heroic things in my life, but for Jesus to leave his throne in heaven, a perfect place with no discomfort, no worries, no evil, everything is just good, and to come here and put skin on and walk around in this misery that we've created among evilness and deceit so that he could be killed for all the wrong, stupid things that Joel did, to get himself locked up on Father's Day of all days, that's sacrificial. Jesus setting that example as a father. He's forgiving. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Mom and Dad, thank you for forgiving me. He was compassionate. He didn't go to the people with the newest suit and the best new sneakers and number one overall basketball prospects. That's not who he went to. He went to the people that were afflicted, addicted, down on their luck. He was compassionate. And like John taught us, Jesus is wise. Like Wes taught us, Jesus was a hard worker. He didn't get to Uber from the Sea of Galilee back over to Jerusalem. He didn't get to do that. He walked. And along the way, he still taught. And he still reached people. He was a hard worker. And he's still working hard to save the world. And a giver of hope, like Tim taught us. Jesus sets a great example as a father by being that giver of hope. And Tim used Romans 5 as a reference. And little did Tim know, Romans 5 happens to be my favorite scripture. And what happens there in Romans 5? It's a declaration. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we may have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He's the giver of hope. There would be no access to God because of our sin. But Jesus provided a way. This helps us with verse 24. If we go back to Proverbs 20, our proverb of the day, it helps us with verse 24. A man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Well, if Jesus is all these things that were witnessed by eyewitnesses and written down by eyewitnesses in the history of the earth, Jesus was here, a real man, fully God, did all these things to set a fatherly example, and my steps come from him, well, I think I can put a little faith and trust in those steps and continue to follow, continue on this discipleship path. Continue to challenge myself in that way. Here's the real question as it pertains to today. Dad, who is Jesus to you? Is this somebody who you admire from a distance? Somebody who once a year you might pull out that old family Bible and read Luke on Christmas and make sure that there's no dust on the manger scene as you set it out. By the way, Christmas gatherings are great. I love them. But are you just an admirer? What role does Jesus play in your home? Are you king or is he king? Is Jesus a hero or just a good story to talk about before we eat? Do you interact, follow, and live with him daily? Because guess what? Your kids are watching. My dad never left for a vacation. It didn't matter if it was a family vacation or a trip with a bunch of fishermen. Fishermen don't always have, you know, it all together. I mean, we're pretty smart guys, but, you know, we're rough around the edges. Dad took his Bible with him everywhere, and he didn't care who saw it. He didn't just take it. He brought it out every evening to read it. I don't know what he was reading. I don't know what book he was in, chapter he was in. Dad never got up to give a sermon. But I saw my dad with that Bible everywhere he went. There was never a trip it did not go with him. And when we weren't on a trip, it was right next to his bed. And I knew that Bible never had any dust on it because it was used every day. Kids are watching. As a dad, as a parent, do you have a relationship with our Heavenly Father? It brings us to our final verse for today, verse 27 in Proverbs 20. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all of his innermost parts. The spirit of man is a lamp for the Lord, searching all of his innermost parts. All right? Golly, I got to go to work, pay the bills, get these guys to volleyball practice and all this stuff, and now I got to be a lamp too? Well, I know a lot about lamps. My dad worked for the power company. So what I do understand is, this lamp is not a light. Right now, it's just a piece of furniture. It's not doing anything. This lamp is a vehicle for the light. So, dads, what are we lighting our lamps with? The Bible says that the spirit of us, the spirit of man, is a lamp of the Lord. I know a lot about what's going on these days because I watch the news. And anything my kids want to know, I can fill them right in. I read the Wall Street Journal. I watch WDBJ7, all that stuff. Hey, great. It's good to keep your kids in the know. That's not going to light the lamp of the Lord. Oh, but Joel, if you only knew what I just got hired to do, I got my very own business card. Got my name on it, my email address, and my title. And this title, people are going to be impressed, and I know my stuff. My kids, I'll be heroic to them because I got this job. Lamp of the Lord's still not lit. If you only knew how hard I studied to get that degree. By the way, this is not a degree. It's a hunter safety certificate, but it fits, right? We can use this? All right, thanks. But I studied and studied, and I know everything there is to know about algebra 1, 2, and 3. I know at least half of the chemical symbols in the periodic chart. There's a periodic chart for chemicals, right? You haven't been in chemistry yet. All right. Well, I've been in chemistry, and my kids, I got all the knowledge they need right here. And the lamp's still not lit. Oh, I see. I got to get my kids plugged in, right? Plug them into a good youth group. Plug them into a basketball team. Man, that coach, I hear he goes to church. He'll influence them. I get them plugged in, right? It's still not lit. The lamp of the Lord in the spirit of man, there's only one thing that can light it. What Jesus did on the cross. This is the light we need to be carrying to our kids. Get all this clutter out of the lamp of the Lord and realize where the light comes from. There's nothing wrong with pursuing a degree. I think Wes has got 7 of them. Nothing wrong with that at all. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having your business card for your job because we learn from Wes, we need to be hard workers. That's wise. But when we come to Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. We understand that the lamp is not a light. And there is a light. Ooh, good, they came on. There is a light that needs to go there, and this is it. Jesus taught in parables. Youth group, we just finished a study on parables. One of the ones we didn't study through our study of parables was Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven will be like, and this is Jesus teaching, this is, you know, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Well, what made them foolish and what made them wise? Thanks, Ayana. I'll answer that right here. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, hey, give us some of that oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, you should go to the dealers and buy it for yourself. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Parents, here's the important part. Afterwards, the other virgins came back saying, Lord, Lord, open the door. But he answered, truly I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Jesus is coming back, the bridegroom, to bring his bride home to this ultimate feast. And we don't know the day or the hour. So let's put the right light in the lamp of the Lord that needs to be shown. It is going to be shown. Isaiah chapter 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. A torch is not a flame. A torch is a vehicle to carry that light. The nations shall see your righteousness and the kings your glory and shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken and your land no more to be termed desolate. You shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. He uses this terminology of a light and a torch and a flame and a lamp a lot. If we talk about dads, the video we watched at the beginning of service, my dad's a hero to me. I don't know if anyone caught it, but part of the song that gets repeated multiple times is, he built me a house in the arms of a tree, referring to a dad going out, spending his day, building a tree house for his kids. We had some cool tree houses in my neighborhood growing up. Some of them the kids built, some of them the dads built. But dads, moms, youth directors, cousins, uncles, there was a dad who built us a house on the arms of a tree. See, Jesus was perfect. Jesus is God, he's God's son. He didn't deserve the arms of this tree, but what he realized is that Joel has this problem, and it's called sin. He has missed the mark of perfection. And it's not going to happen for him. But Jesus said, I love this guy, Joel. I love this guy, Seth. He saw Matt, and he said, man, sin problem, but I love him. And there's only going to be one way to deal with this sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The price to pay for sin is death, meaning forever being separated from God, forever. We earn that. But Jesus endured the arms of this tree, nailed to it, tortured beforehand, and then to mock him, put on a crown of thorns. But he built us a house on the arms of this tree. Jesus tells his believers, in my Father's house is many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. A place for who? For all those that would believe that he is our Heavenly Father. And what he did on the arms of this tree can take care of our sin problem and reconcile us to God forever and ever and ever, as well as our children, our nieces, our nephews, our students, our neighbors. It's the only answer, and it's the only light that's going to work in the lamp of God, which is the spirit of man. Dad, how's your spirit today? Maybe give the discipleship challenge a try. Maybe call up your Christian brother or sister and say, hey, I got work to do. You want to help me? You don't have to do it alone. And just remember, take it from the words of the teenagers in this church. Dad, nobody's asking you to be perfect. Perfection already happened. just give it a try. Give us some time. If we're going to mess something up, Dad, let's mess it up together. Because the biggest mess up's already been fixed. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this word, for this wisdom, for this fatherly example that you have set for us, all of your children. Lord, my prayer today is for dads and moms and single moms, stepmoms, godfathers, uncles, people considering adoption. Lord, you left none of us as orphans. Lord, you could have looked at us in our sin and our evil, foolish ways and said, well, it was worth a shot, but they just didn't get it. Jesus, thank you for not leaving it at that and coming here to be our fatherly example and leaving the helper of the Holy Spirit with us so that we can share this with everyone we encounter. And as we are your lamp, God, thank you for the light. I pray for everyone that's here today and online that today would be the day that we would take the next step to being heroes in the lives of others, using the words of Proverbs and the teachings of Jesus to develop wise relationships. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.